Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How hot was it out there for you on Friday on the field?
You remember the California Raisins?
Yes, I do.
I was their newest member. I was just done. Yeah. I don't know how much weight I lost. It was a lot. I drank five bottles of water.
Ooh. It was a good setup in the pregame interview, though, with you and Vrabel, though. Just right there directly in the sun, and he seemed to enjoy it.
Well, you know, if you're going to be on the field, there was only sun at that point.
That is so true.
There was no shade to find.
There was
none. He was really chipper, though. It was amazing.
He was. It was incredible to watch. He was very chipper at that point. Titans win 23-7 in the preseason finale. So, how about it?
Yeah. I mean, the Patriots are awesome. I mean, the Patriots are clearly a DeAndre Hopkins away from contending for the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Like, you know, the defensive front looked pretty good, and you know, which was good for the Titans' offensive line. Because, you know, once again, showing that, you know, that group's got to be better. And, you know, it's a long season. So I say they've got time to get better. But, you know, they've got to be better for this team to do it. You know, I think there's some good signs from that group without question. But, you know, when you talk about how good we think the Titans defense can be, and you've got weapons like Henry and Hopkins and Burks when he gets back and Chig, you know, you think you can do something if that group doesn't hold you back.
Can you explain to me the Ryan Tannehill being in for three snaps, turn around handing the ball off three times on Friday night?
I mean, I can explain it to you. It doesn't mean you're going to like it or I'm actually going to believe it. I mean, I think it's just all about operation and just getting out there, getting the plays from Tim Kelly and running through some plays. Look, I understand this team's had injuries. I mean, believe me, we've all reported on him. But if you're that afraid of him getting hurt, I just wouldn't take him and put him out there just to hand it off three times. You could call pass plays where, you know, he's going to get rid of them. I mean, you saw Patrick Mahomes and all these quarterbacks do it. They get it, and they just sling it out to the right side to a wide receiver or a running back and then just kind of go. But, you know, look, it's the preseason. If they want to go out there and just, you know, work on operation, then that's fine. What's stunning is Tannehill goes out there for three plays, and like Danico Autry's out there for three series.
Yeah, right.
I was stunned. I was thrilled because he was awesome to watch. I mean, that guy was a wrecking ball. So it was fun to see the defense play as much as they did.
No, that was I'm with you. I said that earlier, Corey. That was shocking. Compared to how Vrabel has gone about the and just. The Landry thing makes sense in terms of take a few hits and kind of get the feel, but Autry to me is an untouchable. And all of a sudden it's like, yeah, go out there and just dominate a little bit of preseason football. Yeah, interesting that Vrabel has changed some in terms of how he approaches the preseason games.
Well, I mean, maybe it goes along with that whole callous thing. You know, do you want to be a callous or do you want to be a blister? Because I think would we not all agree that Autry has practiced much more this preseason than he has in training camps and preseason in the past?
Henry, too, but that's a new offense.
Yeah. But, I mean, so I think it's more about, you know, preparing these guys, you know, to play. And so I think they may have turned over to leave. But also remember, they changed the way they've trained. And it's one of the questions I want to ask Coach Vrabel today is, because they take data on all this stuff with recovery. You know, what has the data shown from the change in training camp where they went 2 days on and then a one-day walkthrough? Because remember, they changed it because when they tried to do the light workout, guys went too fast and they didn't get the recovery that they needed. So, you know, have they seen that? I would contend these are as few soft tissue injuries in training camp this preseason as I can ever remember. Because if you look at the injuries they've got, they're not soft tissues. I mean, a couple of them are. I think, like, Levis is I don't know for sure because we don't know. He likely is, but Phillips isn't. Burks isn't. The offensive lineman in Chicago who wrecked his – our defensive lineman in Chicago who wrecked his ankle, you know, that was an ankle. So, you know, I would say from this aspect, from this point, it's looking pretty good on the soft tissue front.
Corey Curtis from News 2 with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Corey, what did Malik Willis show you in the preseason?
Well, I think, you know, I've called him unrecognizable from last year. And, you know, that may not be totally accurate. He played 66% of his passes, which is a massive, massive jump from a year ago. You know, does he still hang on to the football too long at times? Absolutely. Absolutely. But you don't have like a 10 to 16% increase in completion percentage without being dramatically better. I was very excited in this game. It was the number one thing I was looking for from him was to push the ball down the field. And he took more shots and completed more shots down the field. I mean, the ball he threw to Colton Dowell was probably one of the three best passes he's thrown since becoming a Tennessee Titan. And so I think, you know, from that aspect, you continue to look for that progress. And then the other thing, you know, we talked, you know, we had the Ted Lasso conversation after the game about being a goldfish. Each time he had the turnover, whether they were his fault or not, he responded in a positive way. He didn't let any of those things, you know, slow him down. He didn't live life in the past. He got right back on the field. After the first interception, he completed 8 in a row. So there were a lot of things to point to with that performance, you know, that are really positive steps in the right direction. Still got work to do, without question, but the amount of work to do isn't near what it was last year.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a hypothetical. I got two questions for you. Hypothetical, week, whatever, week four, week five.
Mm-hmm.
Titans are in a tie game. Ryan Tannehill suffers an injury. Here's the two questions. You know, let's say like they're driving for trying to drive for a winning field goal. So who comes in and who attempts the field goal? Who comes in at quarterback and who attempts the field goal?
Right now I'm going to say Malik Willis because you just got more trust because you had more experience with him. Also, if you're in a tie game, you need to make a play. He's a guy who can make a play with his arms or with his legs. I think Malik is probably the guy. That doesn't mean that can't change as the season goes along. And I think with the kicker, you know, I think he's either coming from one of the new places, New England or New Orleans. You're going to have two losers there who are both better than what they had.
And you like those potential, because like you said, there's going to be two guys. You like the potential of those, the losers of those competitions better than like a Gould or a Crosby or somebody like that who's available now?
Look, if I want to go to the retirement home to find people, we can. Or we can look for a solution who may last a little bit longer. I mean, look, Suckups, I love Suckups just like you do. The numbers the last 2 years don't lie. They've gotten worse, all right? You know, Mason Crosby isn't with the Packers anymore for a reason. He's 38 years old, all right? And that's, you know, even kickers' bodies break down. That doesn't mean he would, but you got to get off the carousel at some point. And by the way, if one of those guys doesn't work out, all those guys who are at Shoney's at 4:30 that we're talking about are still going to be there.
Man, I mean, you know, by the way, you and I are way older than these dudes. I just want to point that out to you, Corey.
I am older than everyone, okay? So, look, I am first in line for the strawberry fluff at Shoney's. You all have to get behind me at 4:30.
Hey, absolutely.
Corey, last thing for you here. What did you make of Andre Dillard playing into the third quarter on Friday night?
Shocking. Shocking. But, you know, interesting talk. You know, to hear Vrabel talk that, you know, just wanted him to see him play. And, you know, only played 47 snaps, I think, Teron had last year. And so he was out there working. I mean, Skoronski played the whole first half. And, you know, I don't think any of us are worried about him. You know, he wanted those guys to get time and to be prepared, you know, I guess, to play, you know, four quarters. And again, you know, if he was playing so well that it made him untouchable, oh my gosh, we can't risk this guy getting hurt, you know, then that would be the case. But, you know, there's a reason he was available. There's a reason they continue to work with him. You know, there is some ability there. It's certainly better than Dennis Daly. But, you know, you need to work and you need to get better. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, he's taken to some coaching. And, you know, the word was the last few weeks have, you know, gotten better. You know, I'm not going to say that's not surprising, but there's a reason behind it. And look, they don't have viable options to replace him unless they're talking about reshuffling their deck up front. And I don't think they want to do that.
Well, Corey, fabulous job on the preseason coverage, as always.
It was.
It really
right?
was. You did a great job.
Can I tell you guys a quick story?
Sure.
Or do you have to go?
No, go ahead.
So we always have the poll question. And so this week's was simple. It's usually along these lines. It's who wins the AFC South? And, you know, of course, it's the Titans broadcast. So the Titans are winning, like, overwhelmingly, like, you know, 67-70% or something. But then, like, right before, like, 5 minutes before I go on to update the poll, somehow somebody in the Jaguars fan base got a hold of the post.
Ooh.
And it started making its way around Jaguar circles. And they were just livid that people would pick the Titans to win the division. I mean, the fact that they went 9-8 last year, thanks to a questionable call against a fourth string quarterback, you know, they are the automatic hands down slam dunk favorite to win this division. I have never heard people more entitled after having accomplished less in my life. That doesn't mean I don't think they can be good, you know, and that they're not better than they are. I do. But, look, I don't think the Titans are a slam dunk to win the division, but I certainly don't think the Jaguars are. And for the 3% who voted for the Colts, you just need to turn in your card, and you need to drive to Lake Michigan, and you just need to start swimming to Canada because we got no time for you.
Texans love out there, eh?
Making its way around Jaguar circles. That probably didn't take very long, right? Like, we're talking 5 minutes.
Well, you know, you get to Duval, and everybody lives within a 3-mile radius.
That's right. Corey, thanks as always, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Duval.
That's right. Corey Curtis from News 2.
I hope Todd from Jacksonville's listening. He tweeted at us.
I think there needs to be more preseason trash talk between Titans and Jags fans.
Todd from Jacksonville said something like, you guys better talk about the Jags. You're going to be
talking about a whole lot this year,
yes,
baby.
That's right. That's what we're here for.
We'll get more into the Titans coming up next. Get back into the Malik Willis, Will Levis conversation, or as some people call it, Lellis. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
And you like those potential, because like you said, there are going to be two guys. You like the potential of those, the losers of those competitions, better than like a Gould or a Crosby or somebody like that? Who's available now?
Look, if I want to go to the retirement home to find people, we can. Or we can look for a solution who may last a little bit longer. I mean, look, Suckups, I love Suckups just like you do. The numbers the last 2 years don't lie. They've gotten worse, all right? You know, Mason Crosby isn't with the Packers anymore for a reason. He's 38 years old, all right? And, that's, you know, even kickers' bodies break down. That doesn't mean he would. But you got to get off the carousel at some point. And by the way, if one of those guys doesn't work out, all those guys who are at Shoney's at 4:30 that we're talking about are still going to be there.
That was Corey Curtis from News 2 discussing the kicking situation for the Titans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Make sure you sign up today for Silly Underdog Picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can make your picks today at thegamenational.com or the 102.5 The Game app as week one of college football kicks off this weekend. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports.
little Shoney's comment there from Corey Curtis.
Yeah.
I bet Mason Crosby waits until at least 5:30 to eat dinner.
Yeah. I mean, Corey and I are 4 p.m. guys. By the way, someone with a very strong geography correction, although technically I guess he's right. The texter says Lake Michigan doesn't touch Canada.
That is true.
Now, you can, however, you can swim to Canada. You know, you
sure there's a creek or something.
You go up around Mackinac.
Okay.
You know, Mackinac, the big Mackinac Bridge. You can swim all through there and get into Lake Huron and then swim to Canada. So technically you could swim to Canada from Lake Michigan. You will then end up in a different lake. Very good geography talk today.
Very nicely program. Done.
And grammar talk, which I don't understand. Yeah, I still don't know what my grammar mistake was.
There's a lot going on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So the Malik Willis situation, I agree with Corey. I thought he played well for the most part against New England. Now, the one caveat to that is the turnovers have got to stop at some point. Like, if you're going to be the backup quarterback, you can't come in and turn the ball over. But there were a couple throws in that game that I thought were really, really nice. The Colton Dowell one across the middle with that I think went for 30 in the game. That was a great throw from Malik Willis.
That was very good.
And the Kyaris Jackson touchdown, even though I agree with you, like he could have probably let it rip a little sooner than he did. He gets outside the pocket on the run and throws an absolute laser beam in the corner of the end zone. And it was a great throw, great catch, all those things. So like there was obvious improvement from Malik Willis in the preseason. I thought he had some really good moments in the game against New England the other night, much better than the Minnesota game. I thought it was a step forward for him. The question is, has he done enough in the preseason to unequivocally be the number two quarterback? And I just don't know the answer to that, because Will Levis, I thought he looked decent in the Chicago game, and then we haven't seen him since in a game setting. So how much ground can Will Levis actually make up now that the reps are about to go down and the reps in practice are going to be tailored more towards Ryan Tannehill getting ready for the game that week? You know, what does it look like in terms of Levis and his development? Is there a big gap as the coaching staff use it right now between Willis and Levis? How do you close that if you're Levis at this point? I don't know. So, like, in your opinion, as you view the quarterback situation for the Titans, do you think Malik Willis has done enough to be the guy at number two? Is it still a fluid situation? How do you view the backup quarterback spot for the Titans now that the preseason is behind us?
My depth chart would have Willis 2 and Levis 3, and I know some people will look at that and, yeah, again, think about the commentary around the NFL. Like, oh, Levis coming for Tannehill's job, and then it's going to be like, oh, he's QB3 behind Malik Willis, really. But that's how it's played out, and I totally agree on the point about Will, like a backup quarterback in this league, job one, don't turn it over, don't lose the game for your team. Come in, manage a game, and find a way, you know, to win a football game if you have to, or a couple football games if you have to. Do not lose the game by turning the ball over. But here's the thing. Will Levis threw a lot of picks last year. Like it or not, he did. There were a lot of things around him that weren't good, but he did throw a lot of picks, and in the one preseason game he had, his first or second pass was an absolute gift pick that was dropped. So if you felt right now, like had Levis played in these games, and let's say it was similar to what we saw in Chicago, and he didn't turn it over, then I think you could make a strong case for him to be QB2 right now based on that. And look, I still think Levis is much more likely to be the starting quarterback for the Titans next year than Malik Willis is. But right now, we didn't see Levis. He does have a history of turnovers, and so I'm going with Willis right now. If I'm the Titans at QB2, and like you said, I don't know what flips things around as the Titans now transition to getting ready for football games with their starters. Like, what have you got? I see you smiling over there.
Well, just Andrew says, thank goodness only 9 more days of backup quarterback talk. I'm with you, buddy. I'm ready to get to the regular season.
Well, that's very good, Andrew. I don't know how you got to look at our grid, but every single day this week we are mostly doing. Talking about the backup quarterbacks. So get excited. But to your point, Andrew, yeah. I'm with you. Like, the 53s come out tomorrow, and everybody's like, oh, I had this guy or that guy. I'm very much looking forward to talking about players who the Titans want to play in football games, because they're more important now.
They are. Now, I mean, we say that, though. I mean, backup quarterback, as we discovered last year, it is important. Like, it's important that the Titans are better in that spot. And I think they are. Like, I think Malik Willis has improved to the point where you're not absolutely terrified of him coming into the game like we were at the end of last year We'll see about Levis and what that looks like. But there's definitely been progress from Willis. I'm interested to see what the Titans do in terms of the numbers game, getting the 53-man roster finalized here in the next couple of days. I mean, obviously, Levis is going to make the team, right? You just spent a second-round pick on him. You traded enough to do so. Levis is going to be on the 53. I mean, I would put the percentage chance, this is just me, of Willis making the 53 right now. I mean, it's in the 90s for me in terms of my percentage that he's on there. But, I mean, I guess there is a chance, Joe, that the Titans look around and they say, yeah, I just really don't want to keep three quarterbacks, and we're keeping Levis and Tannehill, so Willis is going to be exposed, and whatever happens just happens at that point. I don't think it's a high percentage, but I guess there is a chance that that could happen. That could be the approach the Titans take.
Yeah, I'd put it around 1.3%, but you can't say zero.
Right.
Can't say zero. You know, I think it makes sense to keep him. I think there's definitely been progress. What does that mean? What does that mean a year from now? You know, at some point, is it, okay, now he's about where he is, and he's a backup quarterback in the NFL? Probably, but I don't know that. I mean, again, you could look at Malik Willis and say, okay, came in behind, kind of behind the curve with the offense he was in and a rough rookie season, shouldn't have played. Look at him now. A year from now, he's a starter and quality guy who's cleaned up the turnovers, and he's a weapon in the league. I'm not saying that's impossible. I still think that Levis eventually passes him, but I don't know that. And like, just look at the San Francisco 49ers quarterback room for proof that you just don't know how it's going to work out, this position in particular.
No question about that. So what are the decisions that Vrabel and Rand Carthon have to make over the next couple of days here? What stands out to us about the preseason, the position battles, all those things? We'll take your thoughts on that as well. 615-737-1025. All that on the table with the Titans coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Check out their new luxury listing at 6551 Brownlee at tjandersonhomes.com. Now make sure you check out the Simmons Bank Open. Pro golf coming to Nashville September 14th through 17th with the Simmons Bank Open at the Grove Club. Text in the keyword golf to 615-737-1025 and enter for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food or drink. Again, that's golf to 615-737-1025. So, Joe, roster cut down week here for the rest of the NFL and the Titans. Titans have already made some cuts, including a kicker at Michael Badgley. So right now, no kicker on the roster for the Titans. That'll be fun to monitor over the next few days here. But what are the big decisions that are facing Vrabel and Carthon this week in your mind as they try to piece together this roster and cut it down to 53?
Well, certainly the end of the receiver room, the end of the corner room. You know, defensive line for sure is I'm interested in that one. There's some guys who've come in, have played well. Naquan Jones had banged up a lot. Sometimes that can really cost you. So those are all interesting. Running back is I feel like Chestnut should be on this team.
I do too.
You know, but I mean, you said it earlier. You know, if Haskins is more valued considerably, you know, like on special teams, and what does that mean? I mean, I think they could both be on it. I thought Jonathan Ward was going to make this team as kind of like the Spears backup, third down back, but and he got hurt. So, I think there's five receivers, you know, that are obvious, and obviously, like, Phillips is banged up, but you count him on the 53 right now,
sure,
right? So Hopkins, Burks, Phillips, you know, Chris Moore, and then you got NWI. I don't know that anybody else gets there. You got to have an extra spot, I think, at quarterback. So I'm not sure that there's a six receiver. I guess it could be. I mean, my guess would be Mason Kinsey, if anybody, right now. But you could go with Kyrus Jackson, a little bit better return element there, I think, than Kinsey. It's like the question there is like, okay, if Kinsey's on the roster, that to me tells me that like they plan to use him in some situations.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
in the opener. You know, while Phillips is hurt, that he's going to be used as a slot receiver in certain looks. If they're just content moving NWI more, whoever, around to compensate for the absence of Phillips, then I don't think he will be on the roster. Cornerback, you know, Eric Gehrer is a camp darling. Sometimes those don't work out. I'm really not sure on him. I think he's been fun to watch. I think basically you have, obviously, you know your starters. You can count Molden there if you want, or count him as a safety. I guess you count him as a safety, but you know, I think Trey Avery's definitely the fourth total corner if you're not counting Molden. And then I think there's one more, but I'm not sure it's not Anthony Kendall. Anthony Kendall started as a gunner the other night. I think it's a lot closer between those two based on Gehrer, you know, doing some good things in preseason games. I mean, again, I like him. I'm not sure on him, though. I think I'm sure on Caleb Murphy.
That's who I was getting ready to ask you about.
I think I'm sure on him. I think someone with that kind of ability and the repertoire that he has demonstrated as a pass rusher, I'd keep him around.
Big word.
Thank you.
Nicely done. He's got four sacks.
Pour le français.
That's pretty good. Four sacks in three games in the preseason. He had 25.5 sacks last year, in, albeit the D2 level of college. But I said, like, at some point, the size part of it aside, all the measurables, all those things, like, at some point you get to the quarterback enough where you force people to pay attention. And I think Caleb Murphy has gotten to the quarterback enough where he forces you to pay attention to a guy like that. And, you know, I can't sit here and guarantee you that if the Titans didn't sign him to the 53, that somebody out there would pick him up. Maybe they wouldn't. And he would get to the practice squad, and then you could have him there, you know, just in case moving forward. But I think there's a decent chance that somebody might pick him up. I mean, pass rushers in this league are at a premium. And, I don't know that – I'm not saying Caleb Murphy is going to be some future Pro Bowler or anything like that, but it would be nice to have a rotation. And if that's your skill set, like if I don't know how good he is against the run in a true NFL game against starting quality, running backs and offensive linemen, couldn't tell you. Well, that'll be something that you'd have to see and plan for at that point to see what that looks like. But if his skill set is getting to the quarterback and he can do that anywhere near as effectively as he's done it throughout the preseason so far, it's tough to pass that up in today's league. It's a quarterback league, and the other side of the ball, it's really about getting to the quarterback and affecting the quarterback. That's what the name of this game is about in the NFL.
Passing and pass stopping league. Yep. So, yeah, look, I think he's on. Now, another guy who's interesting, and it's also interesting like how you want to count him. I really need to – I can't just keep calling him Sam O. I think he's got a good chance to make this team too. Sam Okeanonu, okay? I think I said that correctly. I was close. He can move around too, and can go on the D-line. You can count him on the D-line. You can count him as an outside linebacker. He's a lot better than a year ago too, and I think he's just a really solid all-around player. So do they both make it? I don't know.
I don't know.
Like, I mean, how many defensive linemen – defensive linemen, that's good. There's some good grammar. How many defensive linemen do you keep? Like, is like Paco comes in here? Does he make a spot? You know, it's really those are some of the interesting questions. I think tight end's pretty clear cut. I think inside linebackers interesting too. I mean, I think Monty Rice makes this team. He's been banged up. He's been underwhelming. All that stuff. Right now, Jack Gibbons is the starter, but I think Monty Rice makes the team. But I mean, it's worth a question.
It's worth a question for sure. And look, I'm with you on tight end. I think it's pretty clear cut the four that are going to make the team. I will say, I was not very impressed with Josh Wiley in the preseason. And I know he's a rookie, and they just drafted him, so he's going to make the team. But it's going to need to get better from Josh Wiley as they move forward here.
Yeah, that was the Vrabel presser moment Saturday, which sometimes you just don't know if it's just like Glennon's annoying him or something. I don't know. But his response to Glennon asking about Wiley's preseason was, it's okay.
Yeah.
And that's it. And obviously you got those – I mean, I put both of those picks more on Willis than him, but same time, there's a lot more to the position too. And, yeah, I mean, he's a guy who – was drafted to kind of come in and be a key guy, and I'm not sure he will be for this team right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously Chig is going to be the main option at tight end there. But, I mean, look, the other guys are more blocking tight ends. You need Wiley to be your guy that comes in and can also catch the ball down the field and make some plays that way. And I just – it wasn't overly impressive to me in the preseason. So, again, I don't think he's in any danger of not making the team, but – It's got to pick up.
I mean, he had some really good red zone receiving reps in practice in camp. So, like, I mean, you saw it at times with him. So it's not like that's the thing. But the preseason games definitely were not kind to him. So, but yeah, and I think Odekoya is certainly on this team. And there's another guy who, a year ago is just here on the international player thing, and that's nice. And he's worked his butt off to get where he is.
Tyze Spears, 9 carries, 28 yards for the Titans on Friday, including a nice stiff arm on a 19-yard run by Tyze Spears. Looked pretty good out there.
And he wore a Derrick Henry jersey
coming in.
It was a very good tribute night to Derrick Henry.
It was a very good tribute night to Henry from him. I would say, to me, he is my favorite player to watch offensively at the preseason. He was electric out there. And I know – Willis, we spent a whole lot of time talking about him today and the progress that he's made. But Tyze Spears is the guy in the preseason that I walk away from thinking that guy could play a pretty big role for the Titans and be an important player with the starters this year. I know he's not going to start because Derrick Henry's going to start, but he's going to be out there a lot.
Yeah, and I think we'll see some Spears and Henry on the field together.
Agreed.
In different kinds of looks. And, yeah, I think he's a weapon and he's going to matter. Like we had to do like a fantasy, one fantasy football conclusion from camp and for the Athletic, and that's what I wrote. Like, he's going to matter in this offense. I think he could be a red zone weapon. He's going to catch passes. I don't think he's just going to be a. And I don't know is he going to get like series here and there? I don't know about that, but I think they're going to find creative ways to use him. And that's another thing when we talk about like Kinsey making the team. You could look at like a Spears a little bit you could take care of some of the slot stuff here and there, depending on how they want to deploy them. I mean, we've seen a lot of creativity in practice that we have not seen, in preseason games, and we're about to see that, I think, starting September 10th.
Yes, right? We are about to start seeing that. And, it's a really interesting time because I still – the biggest question to me about this team heading into camp is still the biggest question – heading into the regular season, that is the offensive line. How good are they going to be? We just got another question about Andre Dillard playing in the third quarter. Like, what exactly does that mean the other night? I don't know. I mean, it's not necessarily reassuring that you're playing your starting left tackle into the third quarter. I get that he needs work, but we're getting ready to find out when the bullets are live coming up in week one, how he responds and what that offensive line looks like. And, Corey earlier this hour brought up Skoronski playing a lot on Friday night too. Like, I'm not really worried about him. Like, I think he's going to be fine. I think Aaron Brewer is probably going to be fine at center. Brunskill will be serviceable at right guard.
And he got a little banged up, right?
So. He did, so that's something to keep an eye on. But the two tackles, left tackle, obviously with Dillard, who we've talked a lot about today. But then right tackle, whether it's Hubbard or when Petit Frere comes back, how good are they going to be in those spots? Because if you're not any good in those spots, it's just going to be really hard to move the ball with any sort of regularity if you're the Titans.
Yeah, I'm more optimistic certainly about the interior. I think Brewer fits at center. I think it suits him. I think he's looked pretty good, and Skronsky's looked pretty good. I mean, I think that's been the best part of the offensive line in preseason. And the interior, I think they'll run the I think they're okay there. Tackles, just don't know. Don't know tackles now. Even when Petit Frere comes back, I don't know. I mean, obviously that's better for the Titans, but that's going to be so much the key. You just can't be in a situation where you have to – if you have to help both tackles all the time, it's just going to hurt your offense.
We'll have more on the Titans coming up next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. We'll give our final thoughts on Vanderbilt and their win against Hawaii as well. We'll do all that coming up. Speaking of Vanderbilt, make sure you tune in to 1025-1063 The Game this Saturday for Vanderbilt football. The Commodores will kick off at 6 o'clock at home against Alabama A&M with pregame beginning at 4:30. You can hear all the coverage on the 1025 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Nick Kieser was out there braving the weather on Saturday for the Vanderbilt game. True fan. Way to go, Nick.
Yeah, I sure was. I was out there waiting for, what was it, maybe two hours.
Yep. Just about?
Just about. I got some ice cream in the meantime and then went back over to the stadium. So that was fun.
There you go.
It got so bad in the press box. Actually, Willie Donick rolls in, and Gentry, that's just Willie Donick and I are doing Immaculate Grid on like NBA. Have you ever done this Immaculate Grid thing? You done that? You know what I'm talking about?
I've done the NHL version of it, but yeah. I know what it is.
I've seen it. Yeah,
it's all the same, yeah.
It's actually pretty fun. And so Willie and Gentry and I were sitting there trying to come up with obscure – like San Antonio Spurs and Cleveland Cavaliers players from the 70s. But it passed the time.
Fun times in the Vanderbilt press box.
Passed the time. Then nice 4-hour football game after that, too. Why not?
I know. I saw like when the Navy-Notre Dame game started on Saturday,
yeah.
A lot of people on Twitter were like, these freaking college football rules and the clock. They're screwing it all up. It's gonna take away from the game. And I watched the Vanderbilt-Hawaii game. Because that was really like I watched some of the Navy Notre Dame game, but it's hard for me to really care too much about Notre Dame right now. I got to stop myself, so I didn't watch the whole thing. But I was like in the Vanderbilt Hawaii game. I was like, so is this going to like cut this thing down by an hour? And I barely noticed
it
the difference.
Didn't, but like, right. No, and that's the thing. If you have incompletions, and it's just Hawaii's not a great team for quick games, but. Actually, though, I look, I'm all for the no clock stopping on a first down. They should have the same as I don't want, just like you, I don't want college football.
You're trying to make it like the NFL, well, everything you say, the playoff, all of it.
No, but the rules on the field should be the same. Why wouldn't they be? You know what I mean?
I know.
Yeah, like the clock rules and all that.
Although,
it's
you
not
can
like
leave
college
the one,
football has 8 yards to get a first down, right?
I'm with the 1 foot for a catch, so leave that in college. All you need is 1 foot in, baby. Yeah. Let's do it.
See, I'd rather see all of it go to the NFL.
You're killing my sport.
NFL light. Let's just do the Super League right now.
Vanderbilt does win 35-28 against Hawaii on Saturday. So 1-0 for Vanderbilt. We've talked about this, Joe. You never complain about a win if you're Vanderbilt. They've been hard to come by the past few years, so you'll definitely take it, and you'll move on to Alabama A&M coming up on Saturday with an opportunity to move to 2-0. Having said that, I thought it was a concerning night from Vanderbilt from a couple of different standpoints. Number one, both lines of scrimmage, they got dominated by Hawaii, which is not a good sign. I mean, if you're going to be playing offensive and defensive fronts as you move forward here, maybe not this weekend, but as you move forward in the SEC that are way more equipped than Hawaii is to deal with this. So, got to get some things corrected there, especially on the offensive line part of things, because we've seen them play good football before. The secondary, I did not think played particularly well against Hawaii, although DeRicky Wright, a couple of big plays in that game. But all in all, it's a win for Vanderbilt. I was not especially encouraged by what I saw from Vanderbilt on Saturday night.
Yeah, I'd say it was a disappointing performance overall. The part of it that I think will be okay is the offensive line, because I just have to go with their track record. A lot of these guys play a lot of good football and have played good football against SEC teams who laid down or did not lay down. By the way, real quick, Will claims that the past tense is lay down. If that's the case, he may be right.
I don't know. It just didn't make any sense to me, but.
Yeah, I looked. There are dictionaries who go with laid down, but they're obscure, so maybe they're wrong. I'm just gonna have to.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm gonna have to avoid it all. That's one of those things you just don't say it that way anymore. Then you know.
Yeah, we're gonna change it.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna say if they relented. Okay, how about that? Can we just say that?
There we go.
But this offensive line, they did play well last year against SEC teams, and so I can't believe that they're this bad. I just think they had a bad night. Sometimes it's like you can have four or five really bad plays, and then you have some penalties, and it looks terrible. It wasn't terrible all night. They'll be okay. Defense, yeah, I got concerns for sure. Didn't think there was going to be some lockdown secondary, but, man, they made some mistakes, and the pass rush was not there. And Clark Lee said after the game, they kind of went to more coverage, you know, they were going three down linemen and like a dime look, and, you know, and I get that. But they also were having to blitz to get any kind of pressure on the Hawaii quarterback. That's got to get better. Darren Agu is the sophomore who has an elbow injury, who they need back for the Wake Forest game. I mean, no, Vanderbilt's not in a position where it has three or four difference makers. Like Tennessee over there, you got Josephs and Pierce, and you got Barron. You got different guys who you can go to try to get some pass rush. They need him on the field. I think Vanderbilt, they don't have still enough depth or enough depth of high-level talent, but I think he is a high-level talent.
What did you think of A.J. Swan Saturday night?
I thought he was mostly good. He makes some amazing plays. You know, the one that I did think that I was surprised they overturned the past the line play. Actually, Vanderbilt got a couple calls in that game. Like on the pick, even you could have called a roughing the QB on the pick that sealed the game. Vanderbilt fans, you got some calls. I want you to take notice of this. But I thought Swan was, he made some tremendous plays, some good passes. He also tried to throw a couple picks that could have really been a problem. And one of them was just totally telegraphed all the way, and it just was dropped. It's a pick six.
Yeah.
So you can't have those killer mistakes. But, I mean, I like his talent a lot. And he's the type of guy who can, with those receivers, give him time, give him a chance, and he's going to be a problem for some people on this Vanderbilt schedule.
I agree. I love the receiving core for Vanderbilt. With McGowan and Shepard leading the way, and then some young guys get in there Saturday night, I thought they played pretty well. Running game got to get figured out. And that's an offensive line thing. That's also a running back thing that they got to get figured out moving forward here.
Yeah, the receivers are great. Shepard's a pro, the freshman. London Humphreys gets a TD.
Yep.
McGowan, I mean, Skinner had some nice plays. Maybe got a little banged up, but no, they're fantastic. Running back, I am concerned about for sure. Patrick Smith with a great one-cut run for the touchdown. And then, I mean, that was 21 yards, and they got 18 yards other than that the rest of the night. And I thought Chase Gillespie looked pretty good catching the ball. And the freshman, maybe this is a situation where the freshman, Cedric Alexander, just kind of emerges. But I don't know that he's necessarily better than those guys right now. So that could be a problem. You know, Ray Davis, you knew who was going to do it last year, and we don't know right now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. Vanderbilt week two coming up against Alabama A&M this Saturday. Week one of college football, Tennessee in action coming up on Saturday at Nissan Stadium. So we'll get to that throughout the week this week. Obviously, Titans and roster cuts happening this week, so we'll keep you updated the latest on that front as well.
Backup quarterback show.
Yeah,
next
looking
10 days,
forward to
all
it,
day long, baby.
I'm on. That does it for us on Robbie and Rex Road. The Chase McCabe Show up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save.